Hello.
Hi.
How are you? I see Deborah or Diane. I guess they share the same one. So I don't see her, but I see her box. And I'm just going to make sure that I didn't check Facebook this morning, but I'm going to check to see if anybody has commented that they're not going to be here. And I'm just going to put a reminder, hey, we're on. You guys got the email, the reminders, right?
Yes. Okay. Jane said she wouldn't be on because her husband is her heavy lifter, and he's going to be leaving, I guess, for New Jersey on Saturday. So I think they're going to be doing some heavy-duty packing. I can relate to this.
Yeah. Okay. So... Okay. All right. So I just posted there. Let's see. So I would say let's just get started. I'm sure people will filter in, but I don't want to set a precedent of, yeah, come on late and we'll wait for you. So got it? You good? All right. So welcome to our May 2017 Practice Accelerator Mastermind call. And this is our time. And the way I want to start is by doing a check-in with everybody on a success. So 1 minute or less, share a success or something that you're excited about being doing or working on. So you want to start, Lisa?
Yeah, hi, I can finally hear you. Sorry, a success is a niche is starting to present itself to me, and I'm really glad we're having a talk tonight because, you know, I do nutrition work with a company called Hinsa, and I help them with their nutrition for their corporate clients, and they also have some individual clients, and part of the year-long support is they do medical labs. And so I go through the labs as we go through labs, you know, with functional nutrition. And there seems to be demand for that. So clients have finished, one client had finished his program. And he asked for me personally to go over his labs. And he's come back to me now 3 times. And today, actually, again, he did some new labs. And then he said that the Hinsa doctor didn't have to go through it, that I needed to tell him what I thought and give him my recommendations. And if he needed to, he would check with his doctor because I'm giving him nutritional sort of things. And then one of the coaches also asked me to go through his lab. So I thought, well, this is probably something maybe I can offer people as a separate thing and also a way to get clients in because they don't really know how I work as opposed to a dietitian or something. So Maybe it's also a good way for people to get a taste of working with me as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's a really good thing. I think actually Tony or somebody may do that where you have a comprehensive, like, let me just go through your labs with you. And do you feel comfortable, would you feel comfortable going through somebody's labs without them having done a full intake with you?
Well, you see, that's the whole thing, is the labs are just one point, right? And that's what I would have to explain to them, because I need to do the whole intake, I need to look at their diet, their history, their symptoms, and things like that. But I can say a lot with that, but that's not complete, and I have to say
so that's that why you would, but you could offer that as a leading point, you know?
Yeah.
Give me your labs, we'll spend an hour together, I'll give you a report, I'll tell you what it means, but in that conversation, you'd be telling them, you know, this is part of it. I don't know enough about you to know whether this, or this, but this is what your labs are indicating. And that could be a really good entry place.
Yeah. And so I was really excited about that. And the company Hinsa has also asked me to help them, to give my input on their corporate labs. Of course, they are, you know, limited in terms of their budget, but they got a little bit, not irritated with me, but I kept saying, well, I need to see this. I need to see that. They had to do extra. So now they're asking me to be part of the creation of the labs. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Excellent. So and that's the stuff you thrive on anyway. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations. I'm excited to talk more about that. So Diane.
Yeah. First, I have two brief ones. The first was, of course, I was really pleased with how well our presentation went at SIV, especially since we were like late on Sunday afternoon and I was not seeing people falling asleep, you know, after 3 days of intense, you know, so it was like, yay. But also yesterday, It was kind of funny. We did a joint webinar with one of my mastermind colleagues from ITN, and it was for her program. And we didn't get a lot of signups, but the thing that absolutely blew my mind, which I consider a huge success, is there were fewer than 30 signups, but we had like 7 or 8 people on the call, which is like 25% of the people who signed up. And she said she's heard horror stories where people would get 150 signups, but nobody would attend. So we were like, okay, we had a very small group sign up, but they were there, they were engaged, they were giving us positive feedback, and it was like, okay, this is a win.
It's a win. You know, I will tell you, you guys know Bill Barron. Bill Barron tells the story about his very first webinar, and he had, I think, 3 or 4 people show up, and one of them was a family member. So, yeah, please, will you be on this call just in case nobody else shows up so somebody's there, right? I think it was 3 and one of them was his mother or something, your sister. So, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
The 20% show up is actually good. I mean,
yeah.
Strategies that heavy duty marketers do to push it up to 50, but nobody ever gets more than 50.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when we did our program with the first time and we had 3 paying clients, somebody was telling me that Brenda Burchard said, that's exactly where you want to be the first time you launch your very first program. If you've got 3 paying clients, you're doing great, you know. So it's like, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear that and they don't want to be patient.
They're like, wait for it to happen. People, something went wrong. Like, you had like 20, didn't you, on your first one, Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely was different, but I just did it right. I mean, something about her topic that, which
I think hey guys, it's me. I think I had 30 people on the very first one I ever did. I think I had 30.
On the first webinar you ever did? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah, very. Mine were always under 100 people, you know, for the longest time, or under 50 people. And then you start, it's like a wave. You get momentum, and then you start to get more, right? But even still, if I just do an instant teleseminar call and I've only given them 3 days notice, we get maybe 200. I mean, it's not tremendous. Like, if we do a big push and we do a big live stream, we'll get 1,200 or 900 or something like that. But most people, when I tell people, or I started to tell people when we first started, wow, we have this webinar, but I got 100 people on it. You're like, whoa, what are you doing? You're doing something right. Right? So you expect, like, oh, the world should show up. But, you know, they don't.
What about on Facebook Live? How many do you get?
Live, you know, it depends. Where I do it. And so I'm starting to actually do them on my personal page and then push it out to the other pages because I get more people in that feed. I don't get as much activity on my page. So it depends on what, but right on the call, I don't know, because usually when I'm looking, it's after the fact and some people have watched it later, but usually within, I'd say within a few hours, we get up to 1,000. I think Steph's is up to like 1,700 views.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, you don't know how long they listened or how much they viewed, but we do get a lot. That's without announcements. So there's, Allison. Hi, Allison. So I'm going to hear from Steph. We're just going around and doing quick shares of success, and then we'll go around and see what you guys want to work on. So Steph.
Yeah. So we had I did my first filming in my kitchen yesterday. You know, and it was fun. I have a roommate who like used all my mason jars, and like, so a bunch of stuff went wrong, but it was like really real. He was like, okay, well, if you don't have a jar, just use this. Like, it just went really well and I was happy. So
excellent. Woohoo. And that's filming for the new course.
Yeah. And 48 people showed up live. So I need to not use Zoom. That's right at the threshold.
You can raise it for temporary thing, but if this is going on for like 6 weeks, you can do 2 months of a raise to 100. It's a little bit more. It's like $15 a month more to raise it to 100.
Right.
Or get Zoom webinar.
We'll talk about that time.
We can talk about that. Good. Good job. So how many people did you get signed up for this program? 48 showed up live? Holy cow.
Right? I really think there's only like 50 that signed up for the program total, and some of them are like, I bonus it for this or whatever. But I really think out of, I think there's like 50 people in the Facebook group.
And 48.
So the fact that 48 people showed up live, like, that's intense.
That's great.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you're hitting a chord with these folks.
So awesome. It's like, I wanted to cry. It was like, you're all here.
You're all here. Awesome. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Congratulations. Allison.
Hi.
Hi.
So my celebrations are self-care. I've actually got to bed before midnight. 3 nights, maybe 4 nights in a row. I've been trying to do that for like 2 years.
Awesome. Awesome. Yay.
Yeah, really good. And I fell down the stairs and sprained my ankle on the Monday, but it recovered really quickly with a combination of my supplements and grapeseed extract and arnica. So that's, I'm really pleased with how that's recovered.
Good.
And private clients are just coming out of the wallpaper. It's really interesting. I've got, I'm seeing two new patients in London at £260 each on Friday evening. I saw new patient yesterday in Uckfield, 2 follow-up patients yesterday, and a follow-up patient on Monday. Yes, it's really beginning to take off. And on Facebook, one person said they wanted to buy my ebook on essential oils that I haven't finished editing yet, and somebody else said they wanted to buy my menopause program. So,
oh, wow.
So, and I'm really getting a feel for the people that people will buy into the mastermind group. And I had a meeting today about the potential for the retreat. It's just amazing. Retreat in India in November.
Whoa. Amazing. You are really firing. Woohoo. What do you think?
I've been doing something called the Miracle Morning in the mornings, which is something that I can share with the group. And that's been helping me to get motivated in the mornings rather than just sluggish.
Ooh. Okay. Well, we'll let you share that. Let's just do our circle and then we'll go around. I don't see, Jane said she wasn't going to be here. Okay, that's it. And then Chet has yet to really start after her. She's like, okay, I'll start next month. Okay, I'll start next month. But she's just hopping along with her very busy regular practice. So she's getting there, and she's done a couple of things. Like, she had her VIP day in the fall, and she actually, you know, created some stuff, some videos and things for me to look at. So that was good. All right. So let's start with Lisa. You sent me some,
I sent you, I wanted to go over, I can't, unfortunately I can't make it to the call tomorrow night for the coaches call. And so I looked at Nancy Ann's most recent labs that she did, and then I had some questions maybe you and Allison or anybody else could give some feedback on.
Okay, so is that what you want to do for your time together? For your
I just wanted to ask that, and also how to actually create a standalone package for doing labs for people, you know, how to price it, what should I offer.
Okay.
How much time? Yeah.
Yeah. How did you do it with these people from HINSA? Did they pay you, or did you do it? Did they pay you?
No, they, I mean, I get paid an hourly rate, and then I just quoted them 2 hours, for that. And then they just paid me.
So it was part of the program that they paid you for this corporate, the people from there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a separate thing when they asked me to go over the labs.
Right.
But
it was within the context of the program versus a contract with the individual client. Is that what you
No, it was with the individual client, because they, after the program was over, they asked me to look at new labs.
So you priced them, they already had an hourly rate, or you just priced them the way?
I have an hourly rate that was agreed upon in my contract, and so I just told them, they asked me how many hours would it take for me to go over the labs, and I just told them 2, because it takes me about 45 minutes plus minus to put in the labs, and then I think to go over them with the guys, so. Or whatever. So I think around 2 hours is a fair amount of time.
Okay. So which do you want to do first? Do you want to go over Nancy Ann's stuff first, or do you want to?
Yeah, let's do Nancy Ann. I mean, she's made huge improvements, you know, and, you know, she's 70 years old, and she did this Boston Heart diagnostics, which was, I think, her naturopath had recommended. So we're missing quite a few, sort of the normal white blood indices, the red blood indices, but what we have is really great. She has a lot of figures in the optimal ranges. And I put that in, all in her Dropbox, and then I, and what's really improved is her her thyroid figures, except we don't have any antibodies. We don't have any. They didn't measure the antibodies.
They didn't antibodies, measure which, antibodies. Had she had them before?
Yeah, she did, and she's diagnosed with autoimmune thyroid, so it would have been good to have those. And I'm going to ask that she measure those, and you know, before her program's over. And you know, all her indices of inflammation, all that are really great. And her blood glucose has improved, but it's still a bit high. And they measured insulin resistance and insulin. These are fine. She's in optimal ranges. So whatever is going on with her glucose is going on with her glucose. She doesn't have insulin resistance according to these labs.
Great.
But it's improved, and her homocysteine has improved dramatically from 17.5 to 12. It's still too high. But given that she was very reluctant to take B vitamins, but she did to some extent, I mean, that was really a big improvement. And she has the MTHFR SNP, so now she's really motivated to.
Okay,
you
know,
to,
fantastic.
I'm concerned.
I'm going to share it with you. So, what are the specific questions?
Is on everything there is fine except on the female hormone panel. I wasn't sure how to interpret it. Her SHBG is really high. Outside of the range, so it's, you know, binding up available hormones. But I really don't know how to interpret it.
Okay, give me a second. I'm opening it up. I'm trying to share it, but for some reason it's not letting me share that. Let me try.
If you do desktop, maybe?
I'd have to say it because I just saved it. I just opened it from...
Yeah. But we're seeing your Facebook, so... If you did you go through desktop?
This Zoom stuff drives me nuts sometimes because it disappears and I can't find the bar that lets me save it. It's up at the top. Sometimes it's at the top, sometimes it's at the bottom. Let me stop the share and let me start the share again.
Otherwise, I could try to share it.
Yeah, if you want to share it,
yeah,
you can find it. It's open in some kind of weird something. So maybe it's document one. No, it's not.
It's PDF.
Yeah, let me see if I can move it to my desktop. It's a good
point. Should I share? I could share.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and share, and then you could show us the spots that you're having trouble with.
Okay, so I'll just, can you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the actual result there. And and there's no interpretation from the lab. So these are her results here. So SHBG is high.
So SHBG generally will bind either estrogen or both estrogen and testosterone. It has more preference for testosterone. So even if you're total, like here, if you look at your total and free, big disparity between them. Yeah. Total is towards the high end and free is very low. So, I've been struggling with, you know, finding good research on sex hormone binding globulin. It can be related to thyroid issues and conversion between T4, T3 and a bunch of other things, but I haven't really found anything concrete. I remember being at a conference with Dr. Jonathan Wright, and he spoke about SHGB and it being related to neurotransmitter function and estriol, low levels of estriol, but I couldn't find any research. You know, he didn't have references and I couldn't find anything really specific on it. Her FSH and LH we would expect to be high. She's menopausal, progesterone, let's see. Yeah, it's hard to do these when they're, and this was a blood, right? As opposed to
Alice Blood.
Yeah. Maybe Allison has some input. Why don't you scroll down to say where it says, ah, here we go, progesterone. So she's in menopausal. The range they're giving is 0.05 to 0.13. She's 0.46. So she's technically a little higher.
She on the progesterone.
She taken any
She was taking DHEA, and she's redoing her BioHealth adrenal stress test.
Okay.
And, so her progesterone levels I thought were, you know, good or high. I don't know how to interpret the estradiol, and so I don't know what kind of recommendations I should make to her based on that.
I don't know how to make recommendations based on blood work with hormones. Yeah. I mean, because it's so incomplete. It's just estradiol. No estrone, no estriol. We can't get the estrogen quotient. There's no metabolites. Maybe Allison has some better insight as to this. But I usually defer to like a Dutch or Meridian Valley.
Should I suggest that she do a Dutch? And then Allison, if you have any input, I'd love to hear.
Yeah. Go ahead, Allison.
Well, I start with blood levels because that's what's acceptable in the UK. They poo-poo saliva and urine tests, so I use those later. And you say she's 70 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a bit dangerous to start people with estrogen replacement this late. You know, it's much more likely that it'll precipitate a heart attack or something. So I wouldn't start recommending bioidentical hormones or anything.
She wouldn't anyway. I mean, she's not,
a person. What does she have?
She doesn't have any, she doesn't have any symptoms that are, she had difficulty with maintaining weight. Now she's maintaining her weight and she's eating more regularly and she has a more balanced diet. Her fatigue is, she has all day energy now. So her energy levels are now good because she had fading energy. So other than energy, she doesn't have any symptoms, actually.
I would just count this as being pretty much as you'd expect for somebody who's 70. I wouldn't actually recommend changes if her symptomatic improvement is that great. She's not having hot flushes. The only thing to consider is the bone density. So I'd suggest she gets a bone density scan and make sure she's on a good calcium, magnesium and vitamin D supplement to support that. And if it's very low, consider intervention.
She had a bone density and she has osteopenia and the progesterone is high, and progesterone helps with bone absorption. And she has been taking vitamin D and it's in better limits now, and she's getting her minerals from foods, you know, because she's not a supplement person. That's been one of the challenges with her. So it's been really a food first kind of program, and then she accepted to take vitamin D and then the B vitamins. And as I said, her homocysteine has dramatically improved. So we've been able to show some improvements.
What dose of vitamin D is she on?
She's on a D3K2 supplement what dose? We're trying to get her up to the optimal levels. I have to look now where she is now. I'll leave it. I'm just trying to see where we are here. Okay, so she's at 52, right?
It's just definitely decent. What was she? She didn't have her before, so you don't know where she was. We did
it before, but it's I think it'll be down. It'll be an older test. While I'm scrolling down, close your eyes. They only show the last two, and it was an earlier one. This is the.
I see. You go through the full panel. Yeah.
This was for the practitioner one.
Right.
I'm just trying to get to them. Because I don't have her blood test in front of me.
The chart is easiest anyway. So yeah, there you go.
I'm just trying to get down to the. Her thyroid things improved, and where are we here? Here. Yeah. So we showed a big improvement, you know, in just, 7 months.
23 days. Yeah. So you can bump up her vitamin D if she's open to that just a little bit. You know, and looking at, if she's got the MTHFRs and her homocysteine is still high, I would be looking at some B vitamins, as you know. I know it's hard with her because she doesn't like taking supplements.
Yeah, but now she's more open to it, and I found her liquid ones, and then, you know, her naturopath was also always, you know, recommending others, and I said to her that she needed to make a decision, that I, you know, these are my recommendations, but, you know, because I tried to find things that are easy to be absorbed, you know. So, I mean, she's shown big improvements. I'm really happy. I wish she would do another 3 months. You know, she doesn't want to continue with ERC because she finds the whole thing a bit much for her, but I think she could
improve somehow. She can sign up for a coaching program. We can let her do that, and she can, you know, continue with you as her coach.
Yeah. And then that's what I'm going to suggest to her. I'm going to speak to her next week. We had to postpone our call. I'm really thrilled, with her improvements, but there's a ways to go. And I just didn't know what to say to her with regard to the, you know, the hormones, because that was one of the reasons she joined ERC, was to improve her hormonal balance.
Her sex hormone binding globulin 157, but she doesn't have that before. When you say to improve her hormonal balance, it doesn't sound like she has symptoms related to it.
No, she doesn't.
What was her impetus there for improving?
In her mind, she just thought that's what she needs to do. And, you know, she listens to her body or whatever. And we started at the basics, improving blood sugar balance, which I told her is the basis for all hormonal balance. And really started balancing her meals, improved her fat, and it's amazing. In this Boston Heart test, her fat profile came back. All of it was sort of more or less in ideal limits. I mean, her omega-3 fatty acid index, EPA, just DHA was borderline low. But I mean, I was amazed. You know, she had really, really great results.
Here's the thing. I'm going to go back to just like when we're listening to people, right? So her big concern, you asked before, should you have a Duodutch? Based on what you just said, I would. Because you can say to her, look, they did this. Progesterone looks good for postmenopausal. Estradiol, it's on the low side, but you're not having symptoms, but you're still concerned. It's not showing us the metabolites. It's not showing us, you know, all the risk factors. This is a test that you can do that will give us, like, blown out, full blown everything about what's happening with the hormones.
Okay, I'm sure she'd be open.
And then she doesn't have to do the adrenal test again. She doesn't have to do the biohealth again if she does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of doing the biohealth, let's do this one. Yeah.
Because that'll give us DHEA levels in the Dutch, won't it?
Cortisol, and it will give the graph of the cortisol, and it gives cortisone as well. So you can see the storage form. You can see the free versus active. It's a really great test. So that's what I would recommend she do next. If you want to talk to her about doing a 3-month coaching program, we offer that packages for $2,000. So that could be just an easy, like, okay, just let's do 3 more months for $2,000. So,
Okay.
Privately.
Okay, I'll do that. But I was really thrilled. I just wanted to share that with you. And if there's nothing, so I'll ask her to do the Dutch test instead of the biohealth test, so she'll get more out of it and get the same result. Because I also need to see if she needs to be on DHEA. That's what her naturopath gave her, you know?
You want to see if she needs to be on it, right? And you see all the pathways. That's the beauty of the Dutch. You can see all the pathways. And you might think that we need DHEA, and all the DHEA might be flowing down to dihydrotestosterone, and I'm not sure that that's happening in her case, but that happens sometimes, right? We're giving them all this DHEA, but because there's an overactivity in some of those hormones, right, like the 5-alpha reductase, you can have them going down and flowing and having elevation in DHT, and that's rare, but it can happen. So it's really nice to see that on the Dutch.
No, it's great, and I'll ask her to do check her thyroid antibodies again, because I think that's important.
Yeah, because if they were high before, you want to see if they've come down. And that's another way to say to her, look how far you've come, and really congratulate her for this. Yeah. So if you haven't talked to her about this, I would start with, like, wow, look at all the great improvements you've made.
No, it's amazing. I mean, she's really amazing. She's been really committed to the whole program.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Looks like, I can't find my chat, but it popped up. There we go. Allison said isoflavones can cause an increase in SHTV. So soy would be, flax would have those. So any of those high, you know, clover, things like that.
Yeah.
I'd look and see. I don't think she eats soy, though.
No, she doesn't. And I know that liver support and, you know, it helps, you know, clear the levels of SHBG, but I don't know if we should even aim to lower it. But, yeah, that was actually my question. But, okay, no, that's great.
Looking at that, the SHBG in comparison with the other, and then looking at the estrogen quotient and looking at the metabolites would help.
Yeah, that's great. I'll just stop sharing now. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So, so I love doing these labs and I spend hours and hours on them because I just love them. And the software is great, but it's a starting point, you know?
Right. Exactly. It's just a good starting point. So in terms of packaging, I would say if you're thinking it's 2 hours, you explain to people that you're going to get their labs, you're going to review them and you're going to give them a report, a 37 page written report of it. And you're also going to explain to them and give them some action steps. I would think like $500 would be minimum I would charge for that.
Yeah.
Anybody else thoughts? I mean, if you're using it as a loss leader, so to speak, like, is it a way to use it as an enrollment conversation? Then you can go lower, maybe make it 300.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't go lower than 300.
Okay. Yeah, because I would like to, you know, have it as an opener for people to, you know, to actually work with me and then to see. And where to go from there. Because everybody gets labs done. I mean, they get labs done, you know, if they have their annual checkup or whatever. And, and then I always tell them that, you know, doctors are looking for pathology and I'm looking for vibrant health and prevention. And that's where the power of nutrition comes in, you know. And so we're looking at the same labs with different interpretation. And now the doctor at the clinic here, the Hirschland clinic where all these corporate guys, now he wants a meeting with me because he wants to know what I see in these labs.
All right.
And so now I'm a bit worried because I'm thinking, okay, now, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, so I'm trying to prepare myself, you know, as to, you know, how we look at the same things differently, you know, without making them.
Right. It's just like, look, it's just a deeper look. Here's the pathology here and I can still see it. Nothing here looks pathological or this number does look pathological, but here's the additional things we're going to prevent that person from going. And plus that graph, you know, I always say this about liver enzymes, but it could be true of anything. If you see a pattern of it's getting worse, but it's still an ideal range, right? Oh, it was 10, now it's 12, now it's 18, now a year later it's 20. You're getting to the point where 25, above 25 is pathological. So why don't we look at patterns that people are having over time and then ratios and, you know, really bringing up to him. So talk about ferritin and iron and how some people do just ferritin, some people just do iron. We really need both to get a functional assessment because if, you know, you expect one to be low and one to be low, one to be high and one to be high, but if you've got this going on, then what are we looking at? Are we looking at liver? Are we looking at inflammation? And, you know, you can blow him away. You can totally blow him away by just going through that kind of stuff.
So I'm going to prepare myself well.
Prepare yourself well. So anybody else have comments before we move on the pricing, what you would think that something like that would be good pricing? Anybody? You think 300, 500, more or less?
I think 300 is okay because at least they're paying something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just don't price yourself too low, like,
Right. You don't want to pay, you don't want to start too low because then they don't value it. What did you charge? What is that hourly rate that you charged him?
Well, this is a company, so the company's charging the client more, right?
Right.
So my hourly rate there is 150 per hour, so I got paid 300.
Oh, so minimum 300, right? Yeah, so 500 is probably more realistic because now you're doing the paperwork and the marketing and everything else. So do you feel comfortable with 500?
Yeah, I could try that or if I think that it's too high, I could just switch, but I don't think I'd go below 300.
No, I would not, go below 300. Good. So we're right in the ballpark. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But thank you for your input.
Yeah, absolutely. So Diane, you're next.
Okay, Deb and I are working. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff this weekend on trying to get the launch of the self-study program for the original program. We are going to get to the travel one too, but that's going to take longer because we have to create some of the content. And, you know, you guys know we moved across the country, so we've been kind of not exactly focused on this, but things are much more settled. And right now what we're thinking with the self-study version is to have like a bare bones, which is basically just the modules, not even the bonuses, no calls, no nothing, at $97. And then have like a regular that they do the modules on their own, they get access to the bonuses, but we're going to add like a group call, like an office hours call once a month for, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months at the most, not like forever.
Right. No.
And then we want to have a third, like, private coaching level, even though technically it's self-study, self-paced, where they would get the same thing as the regular level, but give them over the course of the whole program something like 2 or 3 one-on-one private calls, almost like a private coaching just related to the program.
Right.
And we were thinking of pricing that at $497. So,
hour-long coaching calls or 45 minutes or what?
It would be no more than an hour. We haven't really worked out if it'll be like just under an hour or something like that, but it would definitely be no more than an hour.
Would they also get the coach, the, group calls with that? If they do the private, they get, so it's a tiered strategy. They get just the module.
Yeah.
Modules, I would, group coaching, modules, group coaching, and private coaching.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, you know, it seems like to me with each tier, you want to add to, exactly, not necessarily switch or exchange. Exactly. Yeah, so we were thinking add the one-on-one calls.
So you're 197 and 497, or 197, 297? Okay, 97, 197, and...
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Because we don't have to create new content for it. So this is basically monetizing what we already have and then just adding the interaction.
Right.
Okay.
$97 is such an easy price point to sell.
Yeah. And that's the bare bones. You know, they don't get anything else. They can do as much or as little as they, you know, want to put into it. If they pay us $97 and then don't open a module, that's their circus, their monkeys, you know, not ours. But yeah. And then, one other thing we're working on, and we're hoping to get this together really quickly. Now that we moved to a hot climate, we are definitely like salad crazy, you know, and we found different, things that we were finding in the local stores, that Deb's been experimenting with a lot of like salad dressings and adding this and that. And so we're hoping to create a third ebook super quickly with a lot of salad recipes. And then we're thinking of launching, a bundle of the 2 smoothie collections and the salad collections as like a big, you know, summer hot weather. This is the kind of stuff you really want to be doing because you don't want to be eating a big ass burger and, you know, fries and milkshakes and all that stuff. And what I was thinking, we charge like normally $7 for one of the recipe books. And if we discount coupon, we usually do it for $5. And so what we were thinking is, you know, offer them individually at $7 each. And if they buy the bundle, say $15, which is like getting one free. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if anybody's tried anything like that or has any kind of feedback as to whether that sounds like a...
So this is what, you make them, you price them, you know, you, name them as if they're a collection.
Okay? Yeah.
So, and then what you do is they're, when they buy one of them, so say they go and they buy the smoothies, it's like dessert, they're about to do their $7, you say, wait, you know, complete the collection. Add to your order this, this, and this for just an additional $9.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Add the other two. Okay.
And with the pricing, you know, 12 might be like your initial, and then you go up, I don't know. But the point of this is to make them customers as opposed to prospects, and then be able to more easily upsell them into your big program.
Sure.
So, and of course, funnel for this would be they buy your free, they opt in for your freebie. They get offered one of the smoothie books. When they buy the smoothie book, then they're like, wait, for just an additional, you know, figure out what the number would be, like nine, maybe, you know, $9 more, $7 more, whatever. Make it so that it's a nice, like, attractive number more. For just $7 more, you get to complete the collection, right? And then people can't resist completing collection. I've talked to JJ Virgin about this. She's like, it's like crazy. We just say complete the collection and everybody's buying it. They can do that. So it's like they're getting one free. So seven, you know, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that would be good. And then once they've done that, once they've purchased that, either right there or after, you know, in the email sequence when you're delivering it, you then tell them about this is just part of our gluten-free whatever program and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But yeah, because
$7, since you're going to price it at 97, that's an easy, and for just 97. Now, you want to be careful because sometimes when people do too many upsells at the time of purchase, turns you off, like turns me off.
Yeah.
And then wait, yeah. Now you can get this, and wait, now you can get that. So you might want to get them to get the collection or whatever, and then in your email sequence. But on the other hand, play with it, try it, and see, because when they've got their wallet out, and they don't have to do anything, but say, yes, give me that. They go for $97 more. And maybe you don't give it to them for 97. You don't say $97 more. You say instead, they've just paid 14 or 7 or whatever for just $88 more. Normally it's 97, but I'm going to give you a full credit towards this.
So
it's like when they feel like they're going to miss out on a bargain, even if it's money, it's amazing what people do.
Yeah. And of course your suggestion is so right on, because that would be the first thing I would do with the original, with the freebie to the smoothie, is just go straight to the dessert recipes. Don't even pretend that you're going to try to sell them one of the others. Go straight to the dessert smoothie, because at least that one we're going to sell. And if they decide not to get the complete collection,
get the salads, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But everybody wants the dessert smoothie, as we found out at SIV. Right. You guys, when somebody won, the first person who won one in the raffle, you know, 3-4 people in the audience are going, how can I get one of those? And I'm going back to the hotel and I'm telling Deb, can you put a coupon code together before Sunday?
First of all, you didn't need a coupon to discount a $7 item. So I wanted to tell you that. I don't know that would make a difference for anybody, like $5 or $7. Show of hands, anybody, would that make a difference? Right? It's like $5, $7 either way. So you didn't need to do that, just so you know. Right?
Okay.
I think that's going to make or break your sale. A difference between $50 and $100, that's going to make or break sale.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah. 5 to 7.
Thank you.
You know, anything under 10, not going to make much of a difference.
Okay.
Right?
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great. Now you have your funnel.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we've been trying to put together, you know, kind of haphazardly since we've been on the road, but we've been like making notes and talking it out. And, you know, now that we have, you know, the office and the computers and everything set up, we can start the actual work of it. So,
Good job.
So cool. Thank you.
Awesome. Let's see the time. Okay. You have a little bit more time. What would you like? You have 3 more minutes.
I will cede my 3 minutes to Allison or Steph, whoever's next. I'm good. Thank you. I think I've got enough going on right now with these things and the travel program that I'm good.
All right. Thank you. Great job.
Sure.
So, Steph. Darth Vader. Sound like Darth Vader?
Yeah.
You there, Steph? I hear her, but I don't hear. Okay, we'll go to Allison, and then we'll come back to you, Steph. You may have to call in again, unless you're just deliberately breathing into the phone just to... All right, Allison.
Right. Okay, my challenge now is to coordinate outsourcing, I think. and systems. And I know this is a recurrent challenge for all of us, Rita Marie.
Yeah.
I've got, within my networking group, my bookkeeper has now transitioned her business to be business management as well. So I could get her to coordinate it. She's already thinking about some of my systems that are taking up a lot of my time, the production of my prescriptions for the private patients and the invoicing. So she's going to put systems together using spreadsheets so that they talk to one another and manage those.
Nice.
So that will save me a lot of time. For example, yesterday I saw 3 private clients during the day and I spent 4 hours writing the prescriptions.
Wow.
It's a very personalized, program, I tell you. And that's after I've already spent, an hour reviewing their results before I see them. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You
so I need to become more efficient, and it is because I'm thinking from scratch each time I do one of the bioidentical hormone prescriptions. And so I am, I'm going to create some templates that this is my starter for a postmenopausal woman with just hot flushes. This is my starter prescription for a postmenopausal woman who has got vaginal dryness as well as hot flushes, things like that. So I've got about 5 or 6 templates that I just populate. That will save me a lot of time.
And when you say prescription, are you talking the prescription specifically for the medication or for the herbs and the stress management and all the beautiful stuff you usually write up for people after a conversation?
No, that's just for the actual prescription of bioidentical hormones that goes to the pharmacist. So it's a formal prescription. Okay. By then I've already written my response that outlines my recommendations for herbs and supplements and lifestyle. And I've been doing my spiritual healing, which was really great. And these clients these last few days.
So that's the stuff where your passion really lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know that I know that things won't change if you're just getting over the surface all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know if I mentioned that in the celebrations, did I? Did I? I've been telling somebody, I was telling my Athena group. So, following on from the Facebook Live on Monday.
Right.
I had 3 private patients yesterday and 1 today on Skype. And 2 of them yesterday, I did a guided meditation, guided visualization with. And 1 this morning, and it would work really well, and they really, really appreciated it. And instead of sort of criticizing me for not being abrupt and doctorish, they absolutely loved it. So, and I also noticed with the one this morning when I was doing the one on Skype that my voice tone changed completely when I went into the meditation. So I think it's time I started recording some of them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, if you're doing it on Skype, you can record on Skype. Just get a Skype recorder or switch to Zoom or whatever other platform. You can get a free Zoom. So
yeah. So I need to work out what things to outsource, what things to systematize within my business.
Okay.
So the main thing is the things that take up the most time really are the prescriptions, because I'm having to transfer name and address and date of birth to 3 different places. So my business manager is going to work out a system for that.
You only have to put it in 1 place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One of the things is I do a lot of business networking with women. I'm getting referrals from that now at last. So that's beginning to work. It takes long enough. For setting aside enough time to process all those business cards and send emails out and see if people would like my stress busting kit or my menopause success kit is something that I tend to keep putting off and off. And so I'm not making use of the leads that I'm getting.
So when you get these cards, are you typing things in from the cards?
I'm not. Basically with business cards, say like this one. So with business cards, LinkedIn photographs them and registers them as a business card. But the trouble is then they are registered on LinkedIn, not on my actual contacts and not in my contact management system.
Okay. So there are, look into some apps to be able to photograph them. You photograph it on your phone and then get it
yeah.
in? Okay, so look at some apps. There are some apps that will actually do that. I know there's one that does it and transfers it to Infusionsoft. You might want to ask the people at your coach's console.
Yeah.
I'm sure they get that question a lot. You know, how do you get these contacts? So they may have a solution for you.
Yeah. I'll ask them again. They're always reviewing things, but there are just certain things that they're a little bit behind with in talking to other things. Other systems. There used to be an app that put them straight into LinkedIn, but Evernote does send them to LinkedIn, which is great.
Okay.
And the main thing is just time management so that I am processing my credit card statements properly and things like that. So it's just general business management. I'm feeling like I need a dedicated graphic designer who gets to know me because the lady I'm doing the retreats with has a factory, a whole community she keeps in work in India, and they can make bespoke bags with my logo on the side. And what I was thinking is if I find somebody that I'm really happy with, probably through my networking, if I find a graphic designer who I'm really happy with, and who I feel I can stay with, because it's been a disaster each time up to now, then I can have a logo for my whole thing, for my umbrella organization, and then a logo for each of my courses.
Well, I can give a referral to somebody who did all of our logos. We found her on 99 Designs. And for each of our, like we've done it for Shine, a different designer did it for SIV. And they were okay, the designers we found. But it took like back and forth and back and forth. She got it. Like we described it. We got a few little tweaks and she got it. And then we had her design externally from there. So I can give you, make sure to Skype me with her. Yeah. With the request, and I'll just get you her information and you can reach out and see if it's a fit for you.
Yeah.
She did get to know us very quickly and got to see and, you know, used her art design and her balance design as opposed to these other guys. We'd say, well, wouldn't it be good if it had a little bit of this or that? And they'd just do some really crappy looking stuff, quite frankly. And where she was like, oh yeah, I get it. And then she'd come up with some really nice stuff. Very easily, so I can get in touch with her.
Great.
And then there's Jazzy. You're not willing to share Jazzy with anybody.
Good.
She does a good job.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff can be done online. So I think I'll be getting a VA again, and I also need a PA here at home because I mean. If I could just show you this stuff, you wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere because I'm so busy and I've got so many exciting things that I'm thinking of. I'd rather be brainstorming my latest big shiny idea than sorting out the bank statements or sending invoices or than paying my pension payments, processing my locum so that my pension payments get paid.
Yep. So yeah.
And you know, I've been bogged down in all this all the time feeling guilty for it. And I was just thinking, I could pay somebody £10 an hour to do it.
Exactly.
So I shouldn't feel guilty about
you do it. You can go out and make $2.50 an hour, right?
All that
stuff. Anything that's under, you know, you've set your threshold and you decide anything that I could pay somebody under that threshold to do this for me, I'm gonna do it.
And very often they do it more efficiently than you anyway because they're not emotionally involved in the decisions about sorting and sifting, I find.
Right. Yeah. Good idea.
So have you got any more tips on outsourcing and managing teams? Because I know it's a challenge.
I wish that was my forte. Working on it now. I mean, we usually, as we add people, getting Teamworks or some kind of project management software was good. And I think they have a free version and then they have a paid version. We pay for it, but, it keeps track of projects and people and all that. And even if it's just yourself,
which one do you use?
I use Teamwork. Teamwork.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it's just me, it helps because I know where all my to-dos are. And I can just go in there and I can go, no, I'm not going to get to that this week, but that, you know, and you prioritize them. So even if it was me, but then I can say, okay, who's going to do this piece? Who's going to do that piece? And then of course they give me lots of stuff to do too. Review this. Make sure you have that. I need your copy for this. But I would say getting started with something like that sooner rather than later is important. We just upgraded our Dropbox to a business account and just found out that there's HIPAA compliance. And there's abilities to share certain subfolders with other people. So I'm excited.
There's what compliance?
HIPAA. You don't have HIPAA in your country, but we have HIPAA power. That's what, like,
the confidentiality,
right?
Right. Oh, well, I should subscribe to that then. I keep getting the thing up saying I should upgrade to Pro, and but if it's actually got the confidentiality much more guaranteed, then obviously I need that as a doctor dealing with the sensitive issues that I'm dealing with, and I'm storing patient files on Dropbox, so I need to use every form of
it. It's a little more expensive. I think it's like we're paying instead of $99 a year for our regular account with lots of extra storage, we get more storage, but we are paying like $36 or $39 or something a month. So it's more. And then I think we paid like $350 if we did the whole year. But I haven't paid for it yet. I just did the trial. Anyway, I'll let you know as we go along with that, whether that's a tool that works, is worthwhile. Just found out today from my new assistant. She's the program manager, so she's going to be taking over from Stacy. And she was sharing with me how she has a Gmail account that's a business Gmail account. So it's, she only does it for herself because she likes the way it integrates with everything else. So she integrates with Teamwork, and then Teamwork integrates with Word, and then that Word integrates with Dropbox. And so I'm going to be learning a lot from her over the next couple of months because she's going to get us all systematized and organized, and whatever I learn and whatever works well for us, I'm going to share. Because, you know, we're all good in our clinician stuff, but we are not business people, and it becomes this nightmare as you grow. So better to put the infrastructure in when you're small before you need multiple people to manage things.
She sounds like a good find.
I'm excited. I'm really excited by her. Yes.
Yeah. You look it.
She's going to simplify everything. And we've got this other group that's actually in the UK that's doing the actual conversion of the website to the new platform. And it's going to be phenomenal. So far it's just on the consumer side, but once we get that going, we'll go to the other side. So she's going to be the one that, you know, maintains it and make sure everything goes and, you know, all that kind of stuff and make sure everything gets delivered when it gets delivered. So. And she wants to take things off my plate, which is really exciting. No, you shouldn't have to do that. Give that to me. Oh. Like, yes.
No wonder you look like your weight has lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Anything else? Let's see. We have four more minutes.
Yeah, I think if I get that right, it will free me up to run the things like the 4-email campaign, and I'm losing leads and I'm losing potential clients who are actually contacting me about bioidentical hormones because of my system.
Because of your system. So if you get the way I was taught by somebody very masterful at this is like the first thing you need is that personal assistant to take all that stuff off your plate. You shouldn't be running around doing the laundry and filing stuff and putting business cards in. She could put all your business cards in. It'll take her an hour. Like if you come back with a big stack, especially somebody who's good at that stuff and knows how to type.
Uh-huh. Great.
Yeah. So I think that's your first thing to look for is that local PA. Yeah, and I'll give you the graphics thing. Because graphics isn't somebody you want to hire and have on your team all the time. You just want to pay them for projects. But you want somebody that you're repeatedly paying for the
project. That can go back to, that understands my style so that all of the different logos and
That they're coordinated. And the color schemes are coordinated. They should come up with a palette for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your colors should coordinate ideally with your ideal colors. So that if you're snapping yourself, your picture of yourself into this logo that's gorgeous in pink and purple and you're more of a, you know, earth tone person, you're going to not look good with that environment. So. So really looking at, you know, what are the colors that are best suited for you personally and bringing that into your logo palette.
Yeah, I based my last two color schemes on my warm autumn coloring, but the last one was orange and I wasn't really keen on orange. Mm-hmm. And I went and bought orange dresses because I thought I ought to. And, I, you know, they suit me, but the sort of teal and green that are my now colors are much more, I love them. Simple as that.
Super.
So I don't feel as hesitant to promote my website as I was before.
Absolutely. And there's orange and there's orange. Right. So there's the brownish orange, which is more in your autumn coloring, because I'm autumn coloring as well, versus the bright orange, which not. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Super. So, Steph, how are you? Can we hear you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yes, we can. Before we were hearing Darth Vader breathing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
All right.
Yeah, so I would start, so I think for me, like right now, I'm really happy with all the programs that I have. I don't want to add any more programs. I'm like trying to get myself like streamlined and somewhat organized. I have like a new system where I spend 5 hours a day doing like content creation and then marketing. So those things. And I set a timer. So that's like, I set a timer. I'm trying to like limit my emails to twice a day. Like I'm just trying to be more productive and not add new stuff.
Yep.
And right. So I can focus on actually launching the things that I already have, because my tendency and the things that I already have, I haven't even launched half of them.
Yep.
Because my tendency is to make the new thing.
Make new. Yep.
And I already have, like, I have these three funnels of programs. Like, I need to just stick with what I got here and see it through. And I'm feeling like I'm losing momentum and I, like, want to do new things. But, yeah.
So, you know, about new stuff, think about new marketing stuff. Like, look at what you've got and how am I going to put it together? And I can help you put that together in the right in sequence. But then you think about, oh, I want to create. What do I want to create? Well, I want to create some marketing videos. I want to create some, you know, go on Facebook Live and create some content that way that's going to promote me, right? So you can still create. But what you're creating is stuff that's going to bring people to you instead of just, okay, now I have this thing. Now I have to figure out how to get the people in.
Right. So focus my content creation on marketing stuff.
And I would say, you know, own the fact that you are the, you know, the microbiome personalizer. Right? That's what people love when they hear that. Oh, she's going to help me know exactly what things I should be doing and how I should be figuring it out. That's your gift. And that is so unique. There's a lot of people out there for fermentation. There's a lot of people out there talking about, you know, healing the microbiome, but nobody's really going at it the way you are. So I want you to really feel into that and own that, because that's your gift. And then when people went crazy on that Facebook Live, there were conversations there for days. Are you?
Yeah, that was a crazy. I couldn't find stuff. That thread.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So owning that and really coming to terms with that's what you do. And I would say, if you want to be creative and you want to create something new, sit with it and brainstorm all the words and the phrases that would be describing what you do. Come up with titles, yourself. Say, I'm going to come up with 100 titles, right, for what I want to be known as. And just play around with it, and something's going to jump out at you, probably by the 100th, right?
Okay.
That's how I want you to be creative, because I want you to be able to say, when somebody says, so what do? Oh, well, I help people get their gut in order. No, that's not what you should do. What would you say if I met you on the street and or we're at a networking? So, Steph, what do? What's your job or role or career or what?
Well, yeah, what I say in those situations is that I teach people about probiotics and how they change our digestive and immune health. That's what I usually say.
Yeah.
I teach people about probiotics.
That's not really what you do.
It's not, no.
Right?
Youth was not being my client. Like, you know, like if I was like out for dinner with my family friends and they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but that's not going to get them to go, wow, I need that. Right? No. I help people to identify, and I'm just going to throw this off my head. This is not, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I help people to identify, to balance their, I can't even come up with it. So related to, and sit with it and go for it, because I'm just trying to do it off the top of my head and have it be good. And it's not going to be good the first time or the second time or the fifth time or the tenth time. It's not until you start refining it as you go through it 100 times. But really the focus should be on helping people, letting people know that you help them to get their digestive environment. You help them to personalize their prescription. You don't want to use prescription, but how to get their environment. It's hard. Because when I say it to people, oh, I have somebody that, you know, she's in our group and she helps people to personalize their probiotics and to actually figure out what ones they need at a particular time in their life to restore balance to their digestion so that they can restore balance to the rest of their body.
Yep. Yep.
And you might want to lead with the result. I help people too. What is the result they want to achieve?
Right. Yeah, I see it's so bad, but I don't like those long sentences. I don't like, I help like single women to like whatever they're whatever so that they can blah, blah, blah. I can't say that in a conversation. You know, like if I ask someone what they do and they go like, you know, I'm a veterinarian. What do you do? I want to be able to say something that I can say in a sentence and then they can choose whether or not to ask me more questions. That's not an elevator speech. I want like a short sentence that I can be like, hey, I work with blah to help people blah.
Make sure that you have that personalization in there.
Okay.
Because that's the thing, customization, personalization. So that it's the right thing for them. Because that's the truth of the matter is people are off the wall, just like taking this and taking that and the latest 37 strain one. Maybe that one's going to help me. And oh, the latest, you know, kimchi over here. And you help them to actually identify, what they need to do to create the most hospitable environment in their gut. So they have tons of energy and are free of pain and love their life. Something like that.
Right. Okay, I will write out, I can write out 100 of these.
Yeah, write out 100. That's how I finally got my name for my book. I'd been trying for three, four years to, and I left it on the shelf because I didn't have a name. And it was in a class and we had that exercise and I kept writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And then I went back and I went, oh, that's what I want to name it. Never occurred to me before.
Okay, so I can do that. I can try to come up with 100.
So that's your creativity. To wean you off of making new products.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So to really refine what I'm already doing instead of making new stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, for instance. Totally.
And then getting you on some summits and some podcasts so that people get why it's different.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things you can do is go through, first of all, start with Blog Talk Radio. Not a lot of people do that much anymore, but there's still people out there. So you look at who are all the people in health? What are they doing? Which ones would be good for me to speak? Go to iTunes, look at all the podcasts, all the health podcasts. Which ones would be good for me to try to get contacts with? If you find any, I mean, run it by the rest of us. Run it by the group because you might find somebody who knows somebody. I mean, I certainly know a lot of people, you know, to make an introduction, right?
I would like to have more exposure, talk to more people. I enjoy doing that. You know, and I feel like my list is like so close to like the tipping point where it's going to be able to provide like a baseline income with just random people reaching out for sessions. You know, because it's like one out of every, you know, 1,000 people bothers to send an email and go, hey, I think I could use some help with whatever. You know, I'm just like, I'm so close to be able to have, I guess, what I want to say is stability.
Yeah, exactly.
With that, like, I want to keep doing some list building so that I can, yeah,
mm-hmm. just feel a bit more solid with that.
There was a microbiome summit that I saw just recently. I didn't even know it existed. Mike, you should be on that.
Well, I contacted them last time. So yeah, I could try again.
Yeah. Well, and really be feeling into who you are and what value you have when you're stating to them, hey, I'd love to share. This is what I do. This is how it's unique. And I'd love to share that with your people.
Right. Yeah, I can do that. I should, go over the past year, which summits were there.
Mm-hmm.
Contact the organizers of those summits for next time.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is very much like when I used to play in a band and we'd have to get the list of festivals and phone the organizers of the festival and
right,
be like,
tell them on you. Yep. Absolutely. You were in your moment. The best interview that I have ever done with you, because you didn't have a script, you didn't have slides, and I just asked you questions.
Yep.
And we talked about it before to structure it so that we could ask the right questions. But you were so relaxed and it was amazing. I thought you did a great job.
Yeah, I think it was better. And I think I really killed the nervous laugh.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah. 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 But so should I have a page? What do you don't cold call people to do this. Do you have a page, a media page where you send people to?
I don't right now, and I should. I think everybody should create that, a media page. And it makes you look hot, makes you look like you're important, even if you are just starting out. Look up Nancy Jutton. Go to her site. She has a really nice media page. How do you get to speak? Okay. I get to speak for you.
Okay.
At least she used
Nancy
to. Jutton. Cool. And she does bios and okay. She PR. She used to have a PR firm, so she knows what they're looking for.
Okay, cool.
Media page would be good.
Cool.
Diane?
Oh. I think, Steph, what really sets you apart, especially now, because I know we've talked about this, there's been stuff posted in your groups, is that there's so much focus right now on quote-unquote personalizing probiotic treatments, but they're focusing on treating specific conditions,
right.
Whereas what you do is you target your programs to the individual person, not the condition or something like that. And I mean, to me, I put something in the chat, which I know you can't see, but to me, what you do is you help people create personalized probiotic protocols. And, if that's too many P's, you just try maybe individualized, because what you do is you individualize it for each particular client, not, oh, this probiotic works for if you have, IBS or this works,
yeah.
That is huge.
Right? Yep.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But this is again, getting out of the allopathic mindset. A lot of people are getting so excited about probiotics now because it's a new magic pill.
Yeah.
It's herbs didn't work for me. Drugs didn't work for me. I'm going to try this probiotic for my condition.
Yeah. And that's not what you do. That's not what you teach.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not as sexy. It's a lot easier to say, did you know bifidobacteria can cure your whatever? And then they'd be like, wow.
Yeah, but that's not your ideal clients. Your ideal clients are the ones who are looking for person. They're tired of being part of the herd.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, even going back as far as 2010, when I put out a webinar, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and I put it out there about personalizing and labs, that's the stuff that people thrive on. When I said help you to personalize your own dietary based on your labs and your genetics.
Right.
They're just hoarding it up. And that was in 2010. And now the genetics and microbiome are way more in the forefront. So
yeah.
You know, I think, and to go to Lisa's point about doing the labs, people love that. Every time I send out something about reading your labs, doing your own assessments, that sort of thing, it's like,
right.
People are nutty over it. So it's a really good link.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then of course, my fear, of course, is like, because I'm really into all of this stuff. Like I could look at people's labs all day. I could do like all sorts of other things. But what I found is that what people really like, where there is a real void, is in this probiotic area. And I have a lot of knowledge about it. And it's, I feel like there needs to be someone doing what I do. And so I'm doing that. But it doesn't mean that it's what I like only want to do all the time.
Oh no, right? No, but it's a lead. That's what Lisa doesn't want to just read their labs, but it's a good lead in to looking at the whole person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Your
program that says I'm going to give you optimal health. Come join me. It's not as appealing. Let me work on, you know, getting rid of your adrenal stress or your thyroid stress or read your labs or work on your microbiome or, you know, things that people have heard. Now, you know, you got to think about, we've got sophisticated audiences at this point, which are on the summits. They're listening to this. They know this stuff. And you got to decide, is that the audience? I would say that's the audience. That's the low hanging fruit that you start to talk to. And once you have those going and you've got, you know, some steady income, then you could go, well, who else can I target? Okay, I'm going to have to tone the language down a little bit for the average Joe, if you want to work with the average Joe, who doesn't know about microbiome and customization. And then you're more in the level of training them and you're leading with the problems that they have and showing them, you know, problem, solution, problem. And then you offer the solution. So you do a webinar or a blog post that says, here's the problem that's in their mind, right? Low energy, burping, gassing, whatever. And then you educate them about that. You give them solutions, but the solution creates the other problem. It's like, I don't know anything about customizing probiotics. I don't know anything about, you know, balancing my liver based on my genetic markers. And they go, oh, I have to learn that. And then you offer the solution to whatever it is. And a clear example,
yeah, well, I mean, I've
heard before Steph, because you've done, Alan Rush's stuff, is she'll say that you lead with headaches. Come to this workshop and learn how to get over your headaches. And she teaches them about headaches. And one of the points she makes about a cause of headaches is, dehydration. And that 80% of the people are dehydrated and they don't even know it. And then she sells them some sort of a water system. Right? So if you create problem, oh, I'm dehydrated. How do I solve that problem?
I've created tons of marketing in this style.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've created like tons of things that I've not used and, you know, that I have used. Some of them I have and some of them I haven't, in this style. And what I found is that right now I don't even need to do that because there's just so many people that are like chomping at the bit to learn this information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I really like, as like an educator or whatever, I really like the elegance of that system.
Yep. Yep. You don't need to do it. But you will when you move to a different audience. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
You don't need to right now because you're attracting people already sophisticated when you want to branch out, like doing Facebook ads, for example. You do Facebook ads, you want to bring them in with their problem and then teach them about why your solution is what they need. And that makes sense. Like I still for blood sugar because people are still like, oh no, I don't have a blood sugar problem. I don't have diabetes. So I lead with symptoms with blood sugar, right? There's a small percentage that you lead with blood sugar. They'll jump on, but I want to be branched out to more people to say, well, you do have a blood sugar problem. And there were so many people who joined Sweet Spot had no idea they had a blood sugar problem. Now they're writing into the group and writing into us saying how, oh my God, this has changed my life. Now I have more energy. Now my, you know, this is happening and this is happening. I know I have a ways to go, but so that's what, when you're reaching out. Like if you have partners promoting you, and you already have the Facebook stuff, there may be some stuff. I found that when I first started to look at having, like when Ocean Robbins promoted my gut stuff, I'm used to this sophisticated audience that knows about a lot of stuff. So I just kind of was talking to them, assuming kind of baseline. And I realized that a lot of the baseline was way down here.
Right.
I had to adjust.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good.
Focus my energy on creating new content for marketing.
Yeah.
So don't do any new programs. I say I'm going to do a new program. It's not in one of my like current funnels. And all of y'all are gonna like
exactly
back me up.
Not until you have me back. And that's the same thing. I was put on a content creation hiatus as well.
I'm not like a content fast.
Say it again.
It's like I have to go on a fast.
Yes, the content. That's what I was called. She said, you're on a content creation fast. You're not going to create anything new until you've used, you can repurpose, but you've got to use what you have and create some steady income from it before you go on and create something new. Because I get excited. I get real excited by creating.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but then it's one more thing.
I love newness.
Right? So you have to market what you have. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Diane has a nice, simple, compact stream. She's going to focus on this gluten-free thing. She's going to take it here. And then once she gets that going, if she wants to branch off into something else, she can. So one of my very early mentors would say, pick a niche, get rich, then you can go do it, duplicate it in another niche. Right?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That's so cheesy.
It is,
but it makes sense,
less with you guys. But you pick that niche, you work it out. I mean, look at what's his name, Mike Geary, The Truth About Abs. I don't think he has anything else to sell besides The Truth About Abs, and he has a multi-million-dollar business. One book. I know Sasha Zarian. I don't know if you've heard her stuff, but she used to live locally. That's how I knew her, and she had one program, one theme. And she made a trilogy of books of it, million-dollar business, within a couple of years. So when you focus it, when you really focus it, you can get the attention there. And it's a lot less costly to run the business if you don't have all these different areas. So, and that's
from
experience. It's really like for me, I'm like, my cost of overhead of running the business is higher than some people who have a lot less products. Because there's so much, right? And people have to be trained and they have to know what it is and you have to come up with marketing schemes and how do you fit it in? We're just sitting there yesterday going, we promised we'd do a green cleanse this spring. Like, where am I going to fit it in? So I'm trying to figure out where I can fit it in to just give it to the people who have already been promised it. And then maybe send a couple of emails out to say, hey, if you want to join this thing, join, like without doing a big hoopla, because it's challenging
when
you have too much and people come to expect it. So.
Right. Well, yeah, your business is even more confusing, but I find that like the complexity of my business, even just with like the 6 or 7 programs that I actually do have running is like, it's like as complicated or more complicated than some of my friends who are making like multiple 6 figures a year. I have all the complicated stuff, but I'm not making the income yet because I'm not selling the stuff. I've just got all the complicated stuff going on.
Right. And when you do sell them, you do a great job, right? And you get a big flood of income, but then boom, you know? So that's, I totally think that the content creation fast is for you and creating, like really think about the marketing creation. You can still create content and you can still be in your kitchen making stuff, but it's a marketing video.
Marketing. Yeah. I've also noticed something, and I think we don't have time to talk about it on this call, but I want to call it like launch depression. So like there's the launch and I'm all like, you know, on adrenaline and there's all good times and then I make money and it's like money. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then if I don't like do another launch, I stay there. Does this make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm addicted to like...
You're addicted to the adrenaline of a launch. I hear you. So here's what you do. You're going to think about creating evergreens as a launch because you're going to launch it. So the whole optimized webinar sequence, which you're in that program, you're thinking about that as being your next launch. My next launch, and the date is this, and this is when I'm going to be doing this.
Right.
And that's what you think about as your next launch, creating your optimized webinar sequence.
Yeah.
Sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Put the dates on the calendar, commit to it, commit to people to help you with the testing phase of it. So you still have to get it out there. Like say, okay, I've got these three people that are going to be my test cases. Commit to it with, you know, Facebook traffic. If you're going to, you know, buy some ads to it, but you're going to do it. You can hire somebody to do that for you if you want short term. But I would say, think about this as your next launch. Yes, it's that adrenaline of a launch. And you go, oh, I'm done. I don't want to do another thing.
Right.
Well, I need money. Okay, I got to do another launch. Totally get it. Right.
Okay.
Okay?
Cool. Okay. Now, listen, productive. Thank you.
Steph and I would be bored doing just one program. I would be bored doing just one program. And I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to create, you've got your programs and you create them in a spiral, a sequence that you figure out how are you going to get person who finishes this program to realize that they need this program. That's where the creativity comes in, right? They just finished doing a digestion. For me, I have all these programs in different areas. So they just finished doing a digestion program. How do I speak to them so I help them to realize if they've got a blood sugar problem, or a thyroid problem, or adrenal problem, and just shoot them in the right direction to what's next for them. Yep. That's where your creativity can come in.
Okay. Yeah, I like this. It's going to not be easy, but
no.
Yeah.
Nothing worth having is easy. Diane, I mean, think about it, right? A relationship, kids, a big house. You know, once you get it, even if somebody handed you the $3 million to buy your dream house, then you have to maintain it. Somebody's got to clean it.
Exactly.
Somebody's got to, you know, fix the roof and the hole in the roof, right? And it's big. So it's, right? There's nothing's easy. And that's all myths. But it doesn't have to be hard. And if we perceive it as hard, then we shy away from it. But if we perceive it as, you know, a challenge along the way to where I really want to be, then it's big.
Yeah.
Right? Sure.
Yeah, but worth it. Well, thank you.
All right. I got to go
and
go to my calls in 5 minutes. So of the last parting, like I want to hear a takeaway from each person, what your next step is going to be. So Lisa.
Well, I've been hearing all that. I do need to make my next step to group programming because I've specialized on one-to-ones. So it was great hearing about the funnels and Steph going on the content creation fast and all that, but yeah, I've got to take some steps to groups, so I've got to work on that.
I would do something before that though. We had this great conversation at the beginning of how much you love the labs and how lucrative it can be.
Yeah.
I would create a sheet that describes what it is. Yeah. I would make sure that you have a system set up for yourself, whatever, if you want to add bonuses to it, a little checklist or whatever. And then how are you going to flow that? Like really think about how you're going to flow that conversation. So the last 15 minutes is you sharing with them what their next step is and how are you going to seed throughout the fact that this is a starting point.
Okay. Yeah.
Come up with that and then, because I think that's your next step. Because that can flow into a group program. Because if you get enough of those under your belt, you're going to have these people who don't want to pay a bunch of money to do private with you. And now you've got a pool of people who you can offer this group to.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thanks. Diane?
I think my big takeaway is an extreme amount of gratitude for the fact that I am actually happy to keep marketing and relaunching the same program instead of spending time creating a whole bunch of different ones. Because if I can keep stuff related, you know, that helps me focus and it helps me repurpose and it helps me grow in an organic way. So I am extremely grateful that I'm lazy about chasing bright, shiny objects.
You know what? You have more of a chance of being super successful if you focus and narrow.
Thank you. That made me very happy.
And reframe lazy to be just focused.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Focused. Very, very focused.
Very focused. There you go. Allison.
I'm going to get a PA within the next month.
Great. I might have one within the next couple of weeks. I've been talking to somebody here in Austin, so yay!
Yay!
And Steph. Oops. There you go. Yeah, now you're Darth Vader again.
I'm muted.
There you are. You're unmuted. You're there.
How about now?
Now. Good.
Okay. Oh my God. Am I here still?
You are.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. I realized I pushed star 6 by accident. Okay. So Darth Vader says that I really actually enjoy often on these calls listening to Allison talk about, because I feel like there's certain tendencies that she has that I share, like this tendency toward newness and shiny object syndrome, which I think is really like exalted. Like I think she's like doing a great job of shiny object syndrome by getting help too. So I don't know what it means for me, but there's a piece of me that's really thinking about that. Like, yeah, I can try to like can go on a content fast and I can work on getting myself under control, but there's also the concept of not having to do everything yourself because you're good at making new things too. Yeah. So that was cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. I've just really helped me a lot to be on this call and really helped me to see some of my like crazy shiny object syndrome too. Right. And so I think we'll all be so much more successful if we can focus our attention on something and then the next thing and then the next thing. See how they all sit together.
It was great to be back. I missed you guys the past month or two.
Glad to be back. Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.